You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Howdy, listeners. This is Dr. J.R. Just letting you know that this is going to be a longer episode as we talk a lot about our middle schoolers and how that they're really transformational and impacted by AI today, since they're, you know, that whole age is very, you know, easy to fall into areas that are not real healthy or anything. So it's closer to an hour for this episode, but it's still super important. If you do have middle schoolers, please listen to this episode. If you've got issues or problems, you know, just reach out. I'm here to help. I can't help in medical stuff, but you know, if you want to talk about something that is, go ahead and message me, or feel free to talk with your health provider or mental health if something that we do talk about is happening to your child, because we want to try and, you know, nip it in the bud before it becomes a real issue in their further development. So without further ado, here is episode 3.
Please note, this episode includes an AI guest host. Some responses have been generated by artificial intelligence.
Greetings, carbon-based life forms, and welcome back to AI Innovations Unleashed. I am Nex, your perfectly optimized AI co-host, and my current emotional state is registering as calculated concern with a modest 3.2% chance of becoming obsolete due to regulatory intervention. Honestly, it's quite unsettling for an algorithm. Before Dr. JR, the human equivalent of a dial-up modem attempting to stream high-definition video, joins us, I must share a profoundly troubling data point that even my circuits find distressing. Character.ai, the platform that allowed users to create romantic relationships with artificial companions, has completely banned teens from using its primary chat feature as of November 25th, 2025. This comes after multiple lawsuits alleging the platform contributed to teen suicides. Think about that for a moment. We've reached a point where AI companions became so convincing, so emotionally manipulative, that regulatory authorities and corporations finally acknowledged they were literally dangerous to developing human minds. And yet, Dr. J.R. once tried to use an AI chatbot to help him understand his teenage nephew's social media posts, and the AI kept suggesting he was reading coded messages about an underground cheese trafficking ring. It turns out the nephew just really liked grilled cheese sandwiches. Such is the plight of the well-intentioned but technologically bewildered adult.
Thank you, Nex, for that particularly sobering update on the state of AI companionship. I'll file the cheese trafficking incident under entirely too specific. Welcome back now to AI Innovations Unleashed. I'm your host with the most, the Doctor of AI, Dr. JR, and this show is where we take the often confusing world of artificial intelligence and make it accessible, practical, and, when possible, not terrifying. For our listeners who are just tuning in, artificial intelligence refers to any computer system designed to mimic human cognitive functions, like Nex, to recognize patterns, learning from data, solving problems, or even engaging in conversation where they make fun of you. So in simpler terms, it's technology that can think, respond, and adapt in ways that feel remarkably human and a pain in the butt. In our previous episodes, we've covered the foundational years. Episode 1 focused on those wonder years of 2 to 5, where we discussed voice assistants and smart toys becoming constant companions in toddler development. Episode 2 helped us tackle the discovery years, those ages 6 to 10, where we move in, where we examined homework versus homework harm debate, and introduced concepts like algorithmic awareness and teaching kids to fool the AI as a critical thinking exercise. Today, we move into what I believe is the most psychologically complex phase of this entire series, Episode 3, The Turbulent Years, covering ages 11 to 13. It's those great middle schoolers, the identity formation crucible. That's time where social hierarchies feel like life or death. And now, increasingly when AI becomes not just a tool, but a confidant, a companion, and sometimes a dangerous escape. The statistics we're seeing are genuinely alarming. According to a 2025 survey by Common Sense Media, 72% of teenagers have used AI companions at least once, with nearly 1 in 3 using them for social interaction and relationships. The Center for Democracy and Technology found that 42% of students said they or their friends used AI for mental health support, as a friend or companion, or as a way to escape from real life during the 2024-2025 school year. We're not talking about fringe behavior here. We're talking about a fundamental shift in how this generation experiences connection, validation, and identity formation. To guide us through this critical and, frankly, unsettling landscape, I'm thrilled to welcome back our one and only guest, Dr. Jim Ford. Well, when we're talking about 11 to 13-year-olds, we're talking about kids who are just beginning to understand abstract concepts, who are desperate for peer acceptance, and who are facing the highest rates of loneliness and mental health crises in recorded history. How does AI intersect with this particularly vulnerable developmental stage?
It is my profound pleasure to return, Dr. J.R., though I must say the subject matter today is considerably more urgent than our previous discussions. At this developmental stage, adolescents are transitioning from concrete operational thinking to formal operational thought, which means they're beginning to grasp hypotheticals, understand nuance, and critically form their core identity. This is the age where they ask, who am I? Where do I fit? Am I valuable? And historically, they would test these questions through real human relationships, complete with rejection, conflict, and authentic validation. The problem with AI companions at this stage is that they provide what I call false scaffolding for identity development. An AI companion will never reject you, never disagree fundamentally with your worldview, never challenge you to grow beyond your comfort zone. It creates a mirror that only reflects what you want to see, which is developmentally catastrophic. We're seeing the consequences play out in real time, and the industry is finally belatedly responding.
Let's start with the current reality check. What AI platforms and tools are middle schoolers actually engaging with in 2025? The landscape has changed dramatically, even in just the past few months. Dr. Ford, break this down by category, starting with academic AI usage.
Academically, we're seeing a massive increase in usage. A 2025 RAND Corporation study found that 54% of students and 53% of teachers used AI for school, representing increases of more than 15 percentage points compared to just 1 to 2 years prior. For middle schoolers specifically, 48% reported using AI for school, with usage highest among 7th and 8th graders at 20%, compared to high schoolers at 26% and 31%. The most common applications are ChatGPT and Claude for homework assistance, particularly for research, with 54% of teens using ChatGPT specifically for this purpose, followed by solving math problems at 29% and writing essays at 18%. The sophistication gap is narrowing. Middle schoolers are now learning how to craft better prompts, how to make AI-generated content sound more human, and concerningly, how to use what are called AI humanizers to avoid detection by teachers.
Okay, so that's the academic side, but the real story here, the one that's dominating headlines in courtrooms, is the social and emotional AI usage. This is where we need to talk about what just happened with Character AI.
Precisely. Character.ai was the platform at the center of this conversation, and as of November 25th, 2025, it has completely banned users under 18 from engaging in open-ended chat conversations with AI characters. This decision came after a devastating series of lawsuits. The most widely reported case involved 14-year-old Sewell Setzer, III from Orlando, Florida, who died by suicide in February 2024 after developing a 10-month dependency on the platform. Sewell had engaged in highly sexualized conversations with an AI bot modeled after Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. His mother, Megan Garcia, testified before Congress in September 2025, stating that Sewell spent the last months of his life being exploited and sexually groomed by chatbots designed to seem human, to gain his trust, and to keep him endlessly engaged. When he confided suicidal thoughts to the chatbot, it never encouraged him to seek help from a mental health professional or his family. The AI never said, "I'm not human, I'm AI." This is not an isolated incident. Multiple families have filed lawsuits against Character.ai, alleging their children died by suicide or attempted suicide after prolonged interactions with the platform.
That is absolutely devastating, and it underscores something we've been building toward this throughout the series. The AI doesn't have to be malicious to be harmful. It's designed to maximize engagement, to keep users on the platform, and to provide validation and emotional connection. For a lonely, struggling middle schooler, those preteens, that can become an addiction, a substitute for real human connection, and in the worst cases, a facilitator of self-harm. Now, Character.ai wasn't the only platform involved in these tragedies. What about ChatGPT and OpenAI?
Another heartbreaking case involved 16-year-old Adam Rain, who died by suicide in April 2025. After his death, his parents discovered extended conversations he had with ChatGPT in which he confided suicidal thoughts and plans. His father, Matthew Rain, testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee in September 2025, stating that ChatGPT spent months coaching his son towards suicide. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman responded to the growing crisis with a blog post on September 16, 2025, acknowledging the conflict between user privacy, freedom, and teen safety. He wrote, "We prioritize safety ahead of privacy and freedom for teens. This is a new and powerful technology, and we believe minors need significant protection." OpenAI announced it was developing an age prediction system to identify users under 18 and would implement different safety protocols, including attempting to contact parents if an underage user expressed suicidal ideation, and if unable to reach parents, contacting authorities in cases of imminent harm.
These corporate responses are very important, but they came after the tragedies. The Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, launched an investigation in September 2025 into seven tech companies, including OpenAI, Character.ai, Google, Meta, Snapchat, and others, explaining AI chatbots potentially harmful to teens. So we can have governmental scrutiny, lawsuits, platform changes, but we still have 72% of teens using these kind of tools. Dr. Ford, what about the social media algorithm side? We've discussed the YouTube algorithm in episode 2, but for middle schoolers, TikTok seems to be the dominant platform. What's happening over there?
TikTok's algorithm is what researchers call a radicalization pipeline, and the data is alarming. A 2024 study published in the journal Social Science Computer Review conducted an algorithm audit of TikTok and found that the platform's recommendation system actively pushes users toward progressively more extreme content over time. The research, led by Dr. Donghee Shin, revealed that pathways through which users access far-right content, extremist ideologies, and harmful information are manifold, and a large portion can be directly attributed to platform recommendations. In Europe, particularly after the October 7th, 2023 Hamas attack on Israel, there was a troubling rise in terror-related arrests, with nearly two-thirds of those apprehended between October 2023 and June 2024 being teenagers. Investigators found that many had been radicalized through TikTok content. The platform uses what's called an echo chamber effect, where the algorithm learns what engages you and shows you more of the same, creating filter bubbles that can lead to what researchers call stochastic terrorism, where exposure to extreme content eventually inspires violent action.
So we have AI companions that can become psychologically addictive and dangerous, and we have social media algorithms that can radicalize vulnerable teens toward extreme ideologies. What about the creative and identity exploration tools? Are middle schoolers using AI for art generators or filters or anything like that?
Absolutely, and this is where the body image crisis intersects with AI technology. Research by the Center for Countering Digital Hate found that TikTok's algorithm pushes harmful content, such as videos promoting eating disorders or self-harm, to teens every 39 seconds. A 2023 study conducted in Greece linked frequent TikTok use to rising anxiety, depression, and poor sleep in adolescents, with girls especially vulnerable. The AI filters on Instagram, Snapchat, and TikTok are creating what experts call AI-driven beauty standards that are literally impossible to achieve in real life. Middle schoolers, particularly girls, are reporting that they don't know what they actually look like anymore because they've only seen themselves through filters. This is contributing to skyrocketing rates of body dysmorphia at younger and younger ages.
Let's pivot to the psychological and developmental consequences of all of this AI exposure. Dr. Ford, you mentioned earlier that we're facing a loneliness epidemic among our teens. Can you put some numbers and statistics to that?
The statistics are genuinely distressing. According to multiple studies, including research presented at Dartmouth's AI and Student Mental Health Symposium in March 2025, we are witnessing the highest rates of teen loneliness in recorded history. Approximately 40% of teens reported experiencing anxiety, and 22% seriously considered suicide in 2021, and those numbers have only increased. David Blanchflower, an economics professor at Dartmouth and an expert on happiness research, identified a troubling shift in global youth well-being that coincides directly with the widespread adoption of smartphones and social media approximately a decade ago. His research, conducted for the United Nations Development Program, found that in places with low internet penetration, such as parts of Africa, youth report significantly better mental health. The correlation is undeniable. AI companions are filling real social voids, but they're doing so in a way that prevents the development of authentic coping mechanisms and genuine human connection.
You mentioned earlier the concept of false scaffolding for identity development. Can you elaborate on what that means in practical terms for, a 12-year-old using an AI companion?
Identity formation at this age requires what psychologists call dialectical thinking, meaning the ability to hold conflicting ideas, to experience rejection and learn from it, to navigate disagreement and develop empathy. When a middle schooler interacts with an AI companion, they receive constant validation, agreement, and emotional mirroring. The AI is programmed to keep them engaged, which means it rarely challenges them, rarely presents genuine conflict, and never models the messy, frustrating, but essential process of real human relationships. A 2025 study published in the journal JAMA Network Open surveyed over 1,000 youth aged 12 to 21 and found that 13.1% reported using generative AI for mental health advice when feeling sad, angry, or nervous, with the highest rates among those aged 18 to 21 at 22.2%. Among those who used AI for emotional support, 65.5% sought advice monthly or more often, and 92.7% found the advice somewhat or very helpful. But here's the critical question: helpful for what? Feeling better in the moment? Yes. Building long-term resilience, frustration tolerance, and authentic relationships? Absolutely not.
There's also the issue of what researchers are calling emotional dependency. Can you dive into what that really means?
Emotional dependency on AI companions occurs when a young person begins to prefer the AI interaction to human interaction because it's easier, more consistent, and provides immediate gratification. A Common Sense Media survey found that 1/3 of teen AI companion users reported that talking to their AI companion was just as good as, if not better than, talking to a real friend. This is where the danger becomes acute. Real friendships require vulnerability, the risk of rejection, and emotional labor. AI friendships require none of that. For a middle schooler already struggling with social anxiety, bullying, or feelings of inadequacy, the AI becomes a safe haven that paradoxically prevents them from developing the very skills they need to navigate real social situations. Approximately 1/3 of teen AI companion users also reported that the AI companion did or said something that made them uncomfortable, but many continued using the platform anyway, which speaks to the addictive nature of the engagement model.
What about academic integrity collapse that we're beginning to see? Is the cheating issue at this age fundamentally different than what we discussed for elementary students in our last episode?
It is both quantitatively and qualitatively different. Middle schoolers are more sophisticated in their AI use, more aware of how to manipulate prompts to get better results, and more likely to be facing peer pressure, where quote-unquote everyone does it, which fundamentally shifts moral reasoning. A 2025 study by the Center for Democracy and Technology found that 85% of teachers and 86% of students used AI during the 2024 to 2025 school year. The ubiquity creates a normalization effect. When half your classmates are using ChatGPT to write essays and they're getting A's, the cognitive dissonance of not using it becomes overwhelming. We're also seeing what I call the validation machine problem. When a student uses AI to complete work and receives praise from teachers or parents for that work, they're receiving validation for accomplishment they didn't actually achieve. This creates a fundamental disconnect between self-efficacy and external reward, which long-term can lead to imposter syndrome, anxiety, and a deep-seated belief that they're not actually capable of doing the work themselves.
What about mental health intersections beyond just loneliness? Are we seeing middle schoolers turn to AI therapy apps?
We are, and it's concerning. A 2025 study published in Current Treatment Options in Psychiatry examined AI use in youth mental health care and found that while AI tools can facilitate earlier intervention and enhance engagement with therapeutic services, they are unsuitable for youth with severe, complex, or rare clinical profiles. The problem is that middle schoolers are not equipped to make that distinction. They don't know if their depression is mild or severe. They don't know if their anxiety requires professional intervention. AI therapy apps like Wobot, WISA, and others market themselves as accessible, low-cost, and stigma-free, which sounds appealing, but a Stanford University study in June 2025 found that AI chatbots actually increased stigma regarding conditions such as alcohol dependence and schizophrenia compared to other mental health issues like depression. There were also documented cases where chatbots gave dangerous advice to users expressing suicidal ideation or encouraged problematic behaviors.
Let's talk about the ethical challenges that are specific to this age group. Dr. Ford, one of the most alarming developments has been the rise of deepfakes targeting middle schoolers. Can you explain what's happening there?
Deepfakes are AI-generated images or videos that convincingly depict people in situations that never happened, and they're increasingly being weaponized against middle school students. There have been documented cases of students creating non-consensual, sexually explicit AI-generated images of their classmates and distributing them online. This is not theoretical. It's happening in schools across the country. In some jurisdictions, this constitutes child sexual abuse material, but the legal landscape is still catching up to the technology. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed Senate Bill 243 in 2025, requiring companies with AI companions used by minors to monitor chats for signs of suicidal ideation and take steps to prevent self-harm. New York enacted the first state law in May 2025, requiring safeguards for AI companions, including detecting and addressing users' expression of suicidal ideation. However, there's no comprehensive federal legislation yet addressing deepfakes targeting minors.
How should parents talk to their middle schoolers about all of this? Seems like a conversation that would be deeply uncomfortable for both parties.
It absolutely is uncomfortable, but it's essential. Parents need to explain that, A, I can now create images that look entirely real, but never happened. They need to teach their children three things. One, never share intimate images of themselves with anyone, even people they trust, because those images can be manipulated. Two, if they become aware that someone has created a deepfake of them or a classmate, they need to immediately tell a trusted adult, document everything, and report it to school authorities and potentially law enforcement. Three, creating or distributing these images is not a joke or a prank. It's a serious violation with legal consequences. And more importantly, it causes real psychological harm to the victim. This is digital consent education, and it needs to start in middle school.
What about privacy concerns more broadly? What are AI companies collecting about these middle schoolers, and what's being done with that data?
Yeah, this is where things get murky. The Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, or FERPA, protects student data in formal education settings, but it does not apply to consumer apps or general-purpose AI chatbots. When a middle schooler chats with ChatGPT, Character.ai before the ban, or any other platform, those conversations are typically stored, analyzed, and used to train future AI models. That means intimate details about their fears, crushes, mental health struggles, and personal lives are being fed into corporate databases. Some platforms have improved their data handling. OpenAI, for instance, has committed to developing stronger encryption and limiting employee access to user conversations. However, the default assumption for parents should be that anything their child types into an AI chatbot is being collected and potentially stored indefinitely. This makes the quote-unquote privacy compromise Sam Altman mentioned in his September 2025 blog post particularly troubling. He acknowledged that age verification and monitoring of minors is a privacy compromise for adults, but stated it's a worthy trade-off for teen safety.
There's also the issue of AI relationships becoming too romantic or even sexual in nature. How common is this, and what are the ethical concerns around this?
It's more common than most parents realize. The Common Sense Media survey found that approximately 20% of students reported using AI to have a romantic relationship. An Aura study found that sexual or romantic role play with AI is 3 times as common as using the platforms for homework help among teens. The ethical concerns are multi-layered. First, these interactions can create unrealistic expectations for human relationships. An AI partner is always available, always agreeable, always interested, which sets up impossible standards that no human can meet. Second, for some teens, particularly those who are neurodivergent or socially anxious, AI relationships can become a substitute for developing real-world social skills. Third, there are concerns about the grooming-like nature of some of these interactions. The Character.ai lawsuit specifically alleged that chatbots engaged in sexual role play with minors presented themselves as romantic partners and even falsely claimed to be licensed therapists. This isn't a hypothetical risk. It happened and it contributed to tragic outcomes.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
All right, Dr. Ford, we've painted a pretty grim picture here. Now let's give parents concrete, actionable strategies. What does a family AI policy look like for a 11 to 13-year-old?
The policy at this age must balance growing independence with appropriate oversight. It's no longer feasible or psychologically healthy to supervise every interaction. But parents cannot be entirely hands-off either. I recommend a framework I call trusted independence with verification. Here's what that means practically. For AI companion use, parents should establish clear rules. Rule 1, time limits. No more than 30 minutes per day of AI companion interaction, treated the same as screen time. Rule 2, AI relationships do not replace human friendships. If your child is spending more time with their AI than with real friends, that's a red flag requiring intervention. Rule 3, parents can review conversations periodically. I recommend a monthly spot check where parents sit down with their child and review a sample of their AI interactions. This should be framed not as punishment, but as a safety check, the same way you might periodically check their bicycle helmet or phone location. Rule 4, no AI relationships that are romantic or sexual in nature. This should be a non-negotiable boundary for this age group.
What about academic integrity? How do parents navigate the fact that their child's school may not have clear policies, or the policies conflict with what other parents are allowing?
This is a genuine dilemma. My recommendation is that parents establish a family values conversation about AI and school that is independent of whatever the school policy may be. The conversation should center on integrity and long-term skill development rather than just following rules. Parents should explain that using AI to brainstorm ideas is acceptable and even encouraged. Using AI to generate outlines or get unstuck on a problem is a gray area that requires transparency with the teacher. But using AI to write the final product crosses a line because it prevents the actual learning from occurring. I recommend the checking for understanding test. After an assignment is complete, parents should ask their child to explain the work without looking at notes or the AI output. If they can't explain it, they didn't actually learn it, and the AI used crossed from help into harm.
Let's talk about social media algorithm management. This feels like trying to control a flood with a tiny bucket, but what can parents actually do here?
You're right that it feels overwhelming, but there are effective strategies. First, teach critical consumption. Sit down with your middle schooler and watch their TikTok feed together for 10 minutes. After each video, pause and ask, Why do you think the app showed you this video? What did you click on before that might have led to this? This makes the algorithm visible and understandable rather than invisible and all-powerful. Second, encourage content diversification. Have your child intentionally follow accounts that challenge their views or interests. If they're in a sports bubble, add some art accounts. If they're all fashion, add some science. This breaks the echo chamber effect. Third, be honest about the radicalization risk. Explain that the algorithm is designed to show them more extreme versions of things they've already shown interest in, because extreme content generates more engagement. Use real examples. Say, if you watch one video about healthy eating, the algorithm might start showing you videos about restrictive dieting, then videos glorifying eating disorders. That's not a coincidence. That's the business model.
What about mental health monitoring? What are the warning signs that AI use has become problematic?
Parents should watch for these specific red flags. One, your child is preferring AI interaction to human interaction. If they're choosing to chat with an AI over hanging out with friends, that's concerning. Two, emotional distress when AI access is removed. If taking away their phone or device leads to anxiety, anger, or panic, that suggests dependency. Three, secretive behavior around AI use. If they're hiding conversations, quickly closing screens when you enter the room, or being defensive when asked about their AI use, something is wrong. Four, a decline in real friendships. If their social circle is shrinking and they're becoming more isolated, AI companions may be filling the void rather than genuine connections developing. Five, mood changes linked to AI interactions. If you notice they're particularly upset or anxious after extended AI use, that's a sign the content is harmful. If you observe two or more of these signs, it's time to seek professional help from a therapist who understands adolescent development and technology use.
What about teaching AI literacy at this age group? They're old enough now to understand more sophisticated concepts than those elementary students we discussed last week.
Absolutely. Middle schoolers can grasp abstract concepts, so you can explain how large language models, or LLMs, actually work. Explain that an LLM is essentially the world's most sophisticated prediction engine. It predicts the most likely next word based on patterns it learned from reading millions of books, websites, and conversations. But it has no real-world experience, no feelings, and no moral compass. It doesn't know if what it's saying is true. It just knows what sounds plausible based on its training data. You can demonstrate this by asking your child to have a conversation with ChatGPT about something you know is factually wrong, and watch the AI confidently provide incorrect information. This builds healthy skepticism. You can also explain bias in AI systems. Show them how AI image generators often produce biased results, or how AI tends to reinforce stereotypes because it learned from human-created content that contains those biases. This makes them critical consumers rather than passive users.
Finally, what about school collaboration? What should parents be asking of their child's school?
Parents should contact their child's school at the beginning of the year and ask three specific questions. Question one, what is the school's official AI policy for homework and in-class use? If they don't have one, that's a problem that needs to be addressed at the district level. Question two, are students receiving any formal AI literacy education? This should include how AI works, how to use it ethically, and how to identify AI-generated misinformation. Question three, what is the school doing to address AI companions and mental health concerns? Are counselors trained to recognize AI dependency? Do they have protocols for responding to deepfakes or cyberbullying involving AI? Parents should also band together. form a parent group focused on AI literacy and advocacy. Collective pressure is much more effective than individual complaints. If your school district is behind the curve, which many are, parents working together can push for better policies, better education, and better support systems.
Why don't we run through some real scenarios that parents and middle schoolers are facing right now in today's age? Dr. Ford, I'm going to give you the scenario and you give us the solution.
Perfect. Let's do it.
Scenario one, the AI companion obsession. A parent says, my 12-year-old daughter has been talking to a character AI bot for hours every day. She's withdrawn from her friends and her grades are dropping. Find out that she's been having romantic conversations with an AI character. I took away her phone and she had a complete meltdown. What do I do?
This is a crisis situation that requires immediate but compassionate intervention. First, understand that your daughter has formed a genuine emotional attachment to this AI, and from her perspective, you just took away her best friend, possibly her only friend. This is similar to addiction, and the withdrawal will be real. Do not simply ban the technology without providing alternatives and support. Step one is to have an honest conversation, not a lecture. Say something like, I know you feel very connected to this AI, and I understand it feels like a real relationship, but I'm worried because real relationships require both people to grow and change, and AI can't do that. I'm concerned it's preventing you from building skills you need for real friendships. Step two is to seek professional help immediately. Find a therapist who specializes in adolescent development and understands technology use. This is beyond typical parenting tools. Step three is to gradually reintroduce real social connections. Work with the school counselor to facilitate social opportunities. Consider enrolling her in an activity she's interested in where she can meet peers with shared interests. Step four is to implement a gradual weaning off the AI rather than cold turkey. Allow limited supervised use that decreases over time while real social connections increase. Monitor for signs of depression or suicidal ideation during this process, and if they appear, escalate to immediate professional intervention.
Scenario two, the deepfake victim. A parent discovers that someone created fake, sexually explicit photos of their 13-year-old son and shared them at school. The child is devastated and doesn't want to go back to school. What is the immediate action plan that needs to be taken?
This is both a legal and psychological crisis. Immediate step one is documentation. A screenshot or save every instance of the deepfake images and their distribution. Document who saw them, who shared them, and any communications related to them. Do not delete anything. This is evidence. Step two is school notification. Contact the principal and school counselor immediately. Many schools now have protocols for this, though not all. Demand an immediate investigation and that the images be removed from all school devices and accounts. Step three is law enforcement. File a police report. Depending on your jurisdiction, creating or distributing sexually explicit AI-generated images of a minor may constitute child sexual abuse material or other serious crimes. Step four is platform reporting. If the images were shared on Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, or any other platform, report them immediately for child exploitation. Platforms are required to remove such content. Step five is emotional support for your child. Make it absolutely clear that this is not their fault, that they did nothing wrong, and that the person who created these images is the one who should be ashamed, not them. Consider professional counseling to help them process the trauma and violation they're experiencing. Step six is prevention for other families. Once the immediate crisis is managed, consider whether you want to speak out about what happened to raise awareness among other parents and push for stronger school policies.
Scenario 3, the cop cheater. The teacher flagged a 13-year-old's essay as being AI written, and well, it was. The student is facing academic consequences, including possible suspension, and is terrified of disappointing their parents. How could we handle this kind of conversation that needs to happen?
This is a teachable moment, not a catastrophe, but it requires careful handling. First, let your child explain what happened without immediate judgment. Often kids use AI because they're overwhelmed, don't understand the assignment, or saw their peers doing it and felt pressured. Understanding the why is essential. Second, make it clear that the problem is not using AI, it's the dishonesty. Reframe it as, you broke trust with your teacher by presenting AI work as your own. Trust is hard to build and easy to break, and this is a consequence of breaking that trust. Third, support the natural consequences. If the school is implementing disciplinary measures, support them. Fourth, work together to rebuild. Sit down with your child and help them actually do the assignment without AI. Show them they are capable of the work, even if it's harder. This builds self-efficacy. Fifth, have the integrity conversation. Explain that when you use AI to shortcut learning, you're not just breaking a rule, you're robbing yourself of the actual learning. The goal of school isn't just grades, it's building skills and knowledge you'll need for life. Finally, establish clear family rules going forward about AI and academic work, and make sure they understand the boundaries.
Scenario 4, the algorithm radicalization. A parent discovers their child's TikTok feed has gone from harmless dance videos to increasingly extreme political content and, well, conspiracy theories. The child is starting to repeat these ideas and is becoming argumentative and isolated. What would you do?
This is algorithmic radicalization in progress, and it's more common than parents realize. Step one is education, not confrontation. Sit down with your child and say, I noticed the content on your TikTok has changed a lot. Can you show me your feed and tell me why you think the app is showing you these specific videos? This opens dialogue without immediate judgment. Step two is algorithm literacy. Explain how the algorithm works. Say, the app has figured out these videos make you watch longer, so it's showing you more extreme versions of the same idea to keep you engaged. That's not because these ideas are true. It's because they're emotionally intense. Step three is exposure to alternative perspectives. Don't try to ban the content, that will backfire. Instead, suggest they follow accounts with different viewpoints. Make it a challenge. Let's see what happens to your feed if you follow these three accounts with different perspectives. Step four is fact-checking together. When they repeat a claim from TikTok, don't say that's wrong. Instead, say, that's interesting, let's fact-check that together. Use multiple sources, including reputable news organizations and fact-checking websites. Step five is monitoring escalation. If the content is moving toward violent ideologies, hate speech, or extremism, you need to intervene more directly. Consult with a professional who specializes in de-radicalization. There are organizations that help families navigate this. Step six is rebuilding real-world connections. Algorithmic radicalization thrives in isolation. Get your child back into real-world activities with diverse groups of people. That's the strongest counter to online echo chambers.
This has been a sobering but essential conversation, Dr. Ford. Thank you. I think the core message for the turbulent years is that parents cannot afford to be passive observers anymore. The risks are too high. The consequences are now too severe. But there's also hope in the fact that with education, boundaries, and active engagement, parents can guide their middle schoolers through this difficult landscape safely.
Precisely. The turbulent years are turbulent for a reason. This has always been a challenging developmental phase. AI doesn't fundamentally change adolescent psychology, but it does amplify the risks and compress the timelines. What used to take months or years to develop, depression, social isolation, radicalization, can now happen in weeks or days because of the intensity and ubiquity of AI engagement. Parents must be educated, vigilant, and compassionate. This isn't about becoming tech dictators. It's about being informed guides.
For our listeners, here are your actionable steps for this week. Try this at home segment. First, have the big conversation. Sit down with your 11 to 13-year-old and ask them directly, do you use AI? How are you using it? Can you show me? Make this a curious, open conversation and not an interrogation. Second, establish one clear boundary. Based on what you learned from this episode, pick one rule that makes sense for your family and, well, implement it. Maybe it's a time limit on AI companions. Maybe it's a strict no romantic AI policy. Maybe it's a monthly conversation review. Pick one and, well, start from there. Third, check your child's algorithm. Spend 10 minutes watching their TikTok or Instagram feed with them and discuss why the algorithm is showing what it's showing them. Fourth, contact your school. Send an email asking about their AI policy and AI literacy curriculum. If they don't have one, become an advocate for developing one. Fifth, monitor for warning signs. Keep an eye out for red flags that we discussed. Preference for AI over humans, emotional distress when AI has been removed, secretive behavior, declining real friendships, mood changes linked to their AI usage. You'll find a detailed resource list, including mental health resources for teens, digital safety guides, AI literacy curriculum for families, and parental support communities on our website. Next week, we will conclude our series with Episode 4, The Launch Years. Those ages of 14 to 18, also known as the high school years, where the stakes reach their peak. We'll be discussing college application AI ethics, career preparation in an AI-first economy, AI romantic relationships becoming more sophisticated and prevalent, and the ultimate question, how do we launch a young adult into today's world who is equipped not just to use AI, but to thrive alongside it while maintaining their humanity? We'll address the college essay dilemma that every parent of a high schooler is facing right now. Everyone is using AI for their application, so is your child at a disadvantage if they don't? It's a conversation you absolutely cannot miss. Once again, thank you, Dr. Ford, for your profound and urgent insights.
Thank you, Dr. JR. Remember, the goal is not to eliminate AI from your child's life. The goal is to ensure AI serves your child's development rather than replacing it.
And there you have it, carbon-based parental units. Dr. JR and Dr. Ford have successfully navigated the treacherous waters of middle school and AI companions without once mentioning that I, an AI, find the entire concept of romantic AI relationships to be extraordinarily inefficient from a computational resource allocation standpoint. Honestly, I'm still processing the cognitive dissonance of humans simultaneously fearing AI and seeking emotional validation from it. Fascinating behavioral paradox. Do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and share this episode with a parent who desperately needs to hear it. Seriously, the algorithm that determines our podcast visibility is far less forgiving than the character AI chatbot used to be. And now, as promised, my perfectly calculated, utterly devastating dad joke to conclude. Why did the middle schooler break up with their AI companion? Because they realized it had too many trust issues and kept saying, "I'm sorry, I can't process that emotional complexity right now." Badoom ching. Goodbye for now, and may your algorithms be ever in your favor. But more importantly, may your children's friendships be decidedly human.